It's amazing those times when God like really sneaks up on you, tells you something you already know, but says it in such a way it breaks your heart. We just singing that last song there, and I just felt like the Lord whisper in my ear, just, Gray, I really died, you know. And it's like, I knew it, but I didn't know it to that depth, that he who'd always been alive died. And I don't know, it just really shook me that he would go to those depths to deny himself the one thing he'd always been, which was life. Always been alive. I called David up this morning because the Lord woke me up at 4 o'clock this morning. I mean, my brain was half there thinking it was time to get up anyway. But when I woke up, I didn't really wake up, my eyes kind of like, came into a bit of focus, and I felt like the Lord said to me, Graham, I'm jealous to be zealous. I'm thinking, what's that? And I woke up, and I had this sense that the Lord was just saying, come on, get up. I want to say something to you. And I phoned David at 8:30 this morning, something like that, and just said, David, I really feel like I've got a prophetic word for the church. And if you've got your Bibles there, I want to turn you to turn to the second book of Kings in chapter 13. And so I want to put it into a kind of scriptural context, which really fits, I feel, what the Lord wants to do. And it was interesting, Dave and I were just sat before the meeting, and he was telling me about what he felt from the message he gave last week, and there's a new season starting, because that's the only thing the Lord has been talking to me about this morning, is there's a new season that's here. So if you've got 2 Kings chapter 13, we're going to read from verse 14. It says, when Elisha became sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over him and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. He's just about to lose all of his security. Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. So he took a bow and arrows. Elisha said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. And he put his hand on it. Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the window towards the east. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And Elisha said, the Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Arah, for you will defeat the Arameans at Aphek until you have destroyed them. And Elisha said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. And he struck it 3 times and stopped. So the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you would have struck Aram until you would have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram only 3 times. And there is a symbolic prophetic code here, which I hope is about to appear on the screens. There we go. The bow in this story represents the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. The arrows in this narrative represent the specific word of God to you personally. And when it talks about your hand, it's talking about you taking responsibility to let God move in your life. It's like responsibility is your response to his ability. Elisha's hand represents the hand of God that is coming upon you at this time. The window is literally a window or a season of opportunity. Windows do not open permanently. Windows are prophetic and they are seasonal. They represent a certain space of time within which something must occur. The east represents a new day, a new dawn, when everything changes. The word shoot represents your obedience to believe God and cooperate in this time. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance is literally the freedom to become what God wants you to be next. The arrow of deliverance from Syria or Aram is literally the freedom from enemy activity in your life. Aphek represents the place of enemy superiority that's going to get turned over. The word strike means to apply God's specific word with His express permission. And the ground literally represents the ground of your current circumstances and your life. So with that as a backdrop, let me prophesy to you. There is a series of battles coming to the church, coming to us as a people. However, this is a different type of battle, one that many of us may never have seen before. This is not a battle initiated by the enemy. He is not responsible. This is a war whose origin is in the heart of God. He is coming to fight for us. And whatever is in your circumstances right now that is contrary to Him, to His kingdom, and to who He is, and to the call over your life, He is going to make war against it. He is about to launch a first strike over the enemy. He is starting trouble, and He's going to jolly well finish it. He is giving us now a certainty of victory, and we are going to learn how to stand in the power and the substance of that victory. Our lives are in trouble now. God is going to trouble the one who has been troubling us. So in our lives right now, He is looking for enemy activity. He's looking for evidence of our inability to change. And He is going to disarm the enemy, and in the process, He will rearm this church with weapons of warfare that will cause us to have breakthroughs on the left and on the right. God is setting foot into our lives to reclaim territory. He will produce in us, in this process, an anointing to break out of the trap of the enemy, out of our circumstances, out of our bad habits and everything else, in order that the Lordship of Christ may be fully evident in your life and in mine. In this process, the Lord is also going to be laying the foundation of a warfaring community that will rise up in this region to police the heavens. God is moving, and we must move with Him. Because God is declaring war. There are battles over health, employment, families, finances, sin, bad habits, immorality, mental health, depression, ministry, business, leadership, revelation. The church has been held back from claiming and realizing her supernatural inheritance. These battles that God will wage in us and through us will become the making of us. They will serve us. They will be our training ground and our proving ground. And the Lord will teach us obedience, authority, and power in these days. He's going to literally train our hands for war. Every attack of God upon your circumstances will see you come to a place of increase and prosperity within that situation. Every weapon of God will release us and prosper us to thrive in the kingdom. Men and women of war will rise up in this place. There will be a breakthrough in intercession. We will see a worship anointing that will touch the throne of God. And I had a sense when I heard that in my spirit that the Lord said to me, that the church here, the worship group here, will write a new album of prophetic praise for warfare that will have an impact upon the region and upon the nation. That in this place, a river of encouragement will rise up that will touch the state and the nation and the nations. That a prophetic community would rise that would know how to fight.
an army will emerge in the audience of the current church. We may feel like we're in the trenches now suffering, but God is going to go over the top to take on the enemy, and we must go with him, secure in his power to protect us. In these battles, God is establishing us in our rightful place, and we will discover that these battles will in effect become the place of our enlargement. In these battles, a window of opportunity has opened for something new to happen in this church. We're coming into the end of an age, and the church must be positioned to receive all that God is releasing. There will be some easy fights and some hard fights, but the Lord wants you to know that the harder the fight, the bigger the breakthrough. Remember this. The Lord says, I will fight for you. You must learn to fight with me. Stand with me in faith, and you will see the salvation of God and its awesome power to deliver and set free. You will fight for each other from house to house. There will be seasons, times of extraordinary meetings being called, where God will break through in power in those corporate gatherings. We will see homes that are under attack being filled with warriors and believing people. Because we will send out a message to the enemy. If you attack one of us, we're all going to come after you. And God is going to bring us to the place as a warfaring community where we will take an enemy attack as a personal and corporate insult to the person of Jesus Christ. But there is a warning here. The Lord says, do not let your response be limited by your vision, but let it be expanded by a childlike faith. At least a childlike faith that looks at the enemy and says, my God is bigger than you. And we are going to learn how to be outraged and indignant at the enemy. We are in the process of losing all of our passivity, because the Lord is looking at you and saying, it is time for a change of regime. We don't realize how much we live under, how much we put up with, how much we cope with, how much we accommodate. Well, the day of accommodation is over. And we're going to understand that battles are only designed for breakthrough. That's why it's important for us to learn how to strike the ground. Okay, so let me unpack that prophetic word a little bit, yeah? There's a series of instructions here that we need to learn how to comply with. Any strategy around the prophetic always speaks of a process. A process is a series of steps to achieve the purposes of God. So let me explain the process in the strategy that we need to adopt in order for that word to come to pass. The bow and the arrows represent the Spirit and the Word combining together in our lives. It's the ability of God to speak and move in power. Our part is to take seriously both the Word and the promise of fulfillment of that Word, and also take seriously the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to achieve it. The Word and the Spirit must combine in our lives for the rest of our life. And the reason I think why many of us are so poverty stricken at times is because the Spirit and the Word do not combine when they need to. That's changing, eh? We're going to learn never again to be casual about the Word of God. This is really vital, beloved. God is giving you something to put in your hand. And in this process, you must identify the Word of the Lord to you right now in this season. What is it that God wants to attack first in your life that the enemy has got hold of? What problem? What difficulty? Because I can sense God in the Spirit rolling up his sleeves and saying, okay, what's first? Maybe you've got a previous promise or a prophetic word over your life. You may have let it drop. Well, now's the time to pick it back up again, because the answer is still yes. Could be a new word that God wants to give you. But let's really look. Let's examine closely. Let's look at what God has been saying to us, and let's make a list of all the things we would love God to attack. Understand the mind of the Lord right now behind this word. He is really, really serious. In a happy kind of way. Because there are times, you know, when you deliver a prophetic word, and you know that this word has been in the heart of God for a while. He's just been looking for us to get to a point of desperation. And when you get to a point of desperation, what happens is, as David said earlier, all the ground of your life gets plowed up. And you get desperate enough to do it God's way in God's time. I don't know about you, but I am in a place of desperation right now. I like who I am, but there's more about me that's coming. And I want to discover what that is. And I feel my life is good, but the good is the enemy of the best. And I'm desperate for the totality and the fullness. I don't want to walk in measure when there is the measure of the stature of the fullness that is available. I feel pretty desperate right now. I don't feel I'm in a bad place. I'm in a good place, but I want to be in a better place. I'm desperate for something better. The hands represent your submission to God in this next season. As you reach out and take the word, His hand will be upon you in power, and you will grow in that word. Beloved, it's important to understand, don't just touch the word, take it, grab it, put it in your fist, and don't let it go. This double-handed, this Elisha putting his hand on Joash's hand, it speaks of a shared cooperation in church, that we're going to be finding ourselves working together in families, in our cell groups, our contact groups, in our relationships, in our friendships. We're going to be working together, double-handed. None of us is just working this through by ourselves. So we're going to find creative ways to double-team together for the purposes of God. And we are going to discover what it really means to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. It's important here, though, is that you obey the word regardless of past experiences. Beloved, we all know there have been times in our past when we have received words, but we have not fully followed those words through to the end result. We have done it for a little while. It's because some of us have the attention span of a gnat, and we need to kind of increase that, yeah? We've been half-hearted in our approach to the general word of God of Scripture, and also the specific word of God in prophecy. There is a danger in only going halfway. The promise must be obeyed. There was a time in Luke chapter 5 when Jesus said to the disciples, verse 3, He'd been using their boats for ministry. And of course, all the time He was using their boats for ministry, they weren't earning a living. He was sat in a boat preaching to people on the shore. So He said to them, okay, so let's take the boats out there, let's launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But nevertheless, I will do as you say and let down the nets. It's time for us to launch out into the deep. And we may feel like we've launched out before. I don't know whether we've ever launched out wholeheartedly before. Maybe we have, maybe we haven't. That's for you to determine, eh? But let me say this. Do not be a prisoner of what you know that has never helped you. We've done this all night long and nothing happened. I think I've been here before. Nothing works. Your previous experience of failure has nothing to do with the current word of success. Get it into your head. Your previous experiences of failure have nothing to do with the current word about your success. There is always a nevertheless at your word, I will. That's always the response that should define who we are as a company of people. Nevertheless, Lord, at your word, I will. Interesting, later on, in John chapter 21, verses 4 to 8, when the same word came, here's Jesus after the resurrection, on the shore, with a fire going, wanting to cook breakfast. And the boys are all out there, because Peter's got annoyed at waiting, and he's just gone fishing. So the boys are all out there, and Jesus shouts out, let your net over the other side of the boat. And suddenly there began this weight of fish, and Peter looks up, because he remembers. And he says, "It's the Lord," and dives fully clothed into the water, and swims to the shore. Interesting, though, was that this time, there was no hesitation when the word came. They just immediately did it. So maybe those good old boys learned something, eh? You know, I feel the Lord is saying to us, we must be prepared to be astonished. We must prepare ourselves to be astonished. Because your astonishment is going to be part of your testimony in this next season. And everyone that you connect with across this region, across the state, across the nation, around the nations, everyone is going to come into contact with your fresh ability to be astonished by what God is going to do. So our whole persona in the Spirit is going to change. We're going to become astonished. And because we are astonished in our ministry, God will do astonishing things. Right now, we need to open the east window. How many of us have been praying in the last year or two, God, open a window in heaven? Come on, see your hands. How many of us? Look around. We've been praying. Why have we been praying that? Just something in your heart. You just kept praying, Lord, open a window. Open a window in heaven. I believe God is saying to us today, the window is not opening. It's open. It's open. This is not a word that something's going to come. This is a word that says something is here. The window has opened. There is a window of opportunity. Understand that windows do not open for long. They are seasonal. The east literally means the dawn of a new day. Window is the opportunity. Put together, it signifies an opportunity to come to a place of renewal and transformation. The renewal is permanent. The opportunity is seasonal. Therefore, we have a short season to become permanently changed. The principle is this. When the opportunity of a lifetime comes, make sure you act within the lifetime of that opportunity. Yeah? I'll say it again. When the opportunity of a lifetime comes, make sure you act within the lifetime of that opportunity. You know, whenever drama and the prophetic combine, an event is happening that has huge significance. It's a powerful combination to release something. And we have to learn to obey prophetic instruction in these days, because it will determine the difference between success and failure. When we are learning to obey prophetic instruction, some of the things that God will ask us to do will be embarrassing. He'll ask us to do something that's not really me. I don't think God gives a hoot about what is really you or not. He's just saying, this is what I want, this therefore is what you must give me. When prophecy comes in power, a window of opportunity opens in the heavens. What have you been praying for? What are your current frustrations about your life and walk with God? What are the sighs and the longings currently in your heart about you and the Holy Spirit? What are your present problems and your current barriers? The good news is a window has opened and God will fight for you. But you have to learn to shoot. Remember, we said that shoot means the power of obedience. In basketball, it's no good being on the court if you can't shoot. Yeah, you got to shoot. When you get the opportunity, you only win if you shoot. If you don't shoot, you get nothing. And it's really important, beloved, at this time, we need to learn obedience. We need to become obedient. And we need to continue to obey. This is a season not just of power, not just of breakthrough, not just of warfare success. It is a season of obedience. Where we're going to learn something and comply with something and submit to something that will be there for the rest of our life. We are learning how to cooperate with the Word and the Spirit. Hey, just look at me for a minute. You know I love being in this church, eh? I'm proud to be in this church. I'm proud that this is my
American home. I love being in this country. I have loved this country for 29 years. Prayed 17 years before God would let me come. I love this place. But guys, I need to rebuke you. It is time to stop being lazy with the promises of God. We must learn to use the promises of God more effectively. Our whole future depends on that. Of course, I include myself in that rebuke. Let me just step outside myself and talk to myself for a minute. You. Okay. There is one part of that code that's actually hidden. It talks about the bow and the arrows. The part that's hidden is the bowstring. The arrow is the promise of God, remember? The bow is the power of the Holy Spirit. The bowstring represents your capacity and willingness to be stretched. Because unless you allow yourself to be stretched, that arrow is not going to have any power. The flight of an arrow depends upon the tensile strength of the bow and the bowstring working together. Without that tensile strength, nothing is going to happen. What does that speak of? It speaks about your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And your relationship with the Holy Spirit is designed to actually stretch your faith, to stretch your anointing, to stretch you so that you increase in power to overcome. God doesn't just drop things on us. He gives things to us in the process of learning how to walk with Him. And as God stretches you, there's an increase that comes behind that. He increases your anointing. He increases your faith. He increases your understanding. When we allow ourselves to be stretched, we are also allowing ourselves to become enlarged, so that we can become bigger and bolder in the power and purposes of God. So we're going to be in a season of stretching and growth. A time of tension in the church here. Necessary, valuable tension. Creative tension. Remember, you've heard me say it a number of times, tension doesn't mean there's something wrong. It means there's something happening. There is no movement without tension. You sat in your lazy boy at home watching the Kings trash the Lakers. When you reach out to take hold of your cup of coffee, the part of you that's reaching out is in tension, because you can't take hold of anything unless your hand is in tension. So tension is about what? It's about gripping something. It's about taking hold of something. And tension in the Spirit enables us to take hold of God and take hold of one another. Question is, what is it right now that God wants you to grip in His name? So this is a promised time of breakthrough. It's also a time where we are going to learn to get tough with our own situations. It's also a time we're going to learn how to be strong in the Word. It's also a time for us to get ready to grow as a soldier. The tougher your circumstances are to change, the stronger your anointing will develop. But God is going to fight for us. The weaker you feel in yourself, the more confident you can become in the Lord. Because confidence in God is the only antidote to human weakness. Sometimes God doesn't want to make us strong. He wants to keep us weak, but give us this overwhelming confidence. Here am I in my vulnerability, and God is going to be to me everything that He is. I am confident. So I want to say to us, in this season, I believe, some situations will resist us initially. But those difficulties are designed to give us the opportunity to learn how to press in to the Lord. Remember this partnership between Word and Spirit? But in those difficulties, we are going to be stretched. Prepare to be stretched, because the power you will gain is going to be huge. But understand this, everything must fall, because God is fighting for us. He does not want a partial victory. He wants a total annihilation. Inactivity in the Spirit leads to sterility. It leads to a staleness of life. It leads to stale faith, low expectation in Christ.
And sometimes it's our inactivity to cooperate with Word and Spirit that causes bondages to take hold of us through our own unbelief. Unbelief always creates a vacuum that the devil is more than pleased to fill. So question, what is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance for you in this season? Remember we said it represents your freedom to become what the Lord sees for you and He sees you. What does He see unfolding in your life in this next season? Truth is, God wants to break you in to the vision that He has for you. In order for Moses to really do the job that God wanted for him, in order for him to go down and speak to the most despotic ruler on the planet, in the most occult nation on earth, in order for him to go down there and demand over 1 million people be set free, he had to see himself as God saw him. And so check out Exodus 7 verse 1. It's an incredible theological statement from God, which most theologians I know cannot explain. Because God looks at Moses and he says, Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron shall be your prophet. What an amazing statement. But I need you to see it. Because if you don't see it, you cannot become it. Beloved, there's something for you to see about yourself in this season. God is going to show you who you really are in the Spirit. He's going to show you what He's making you into. And I think it'll be astonishing for us. What, me? You're kidding. No, I'm not kidding. But I look at you. That's what I see. Gideon hiding away in a wine press making bread like you do when you're depressed. Full of questions. Angry at so many things. Low self-image. I'm the youngest in the poorest tribe in Manasseh. God comes along and just said, Gideon, you're a mighty man. Before that statement, he didn't feel at all that he was mighty. He couldn't see anything. But God spoke to him in such a way that suddenly he saw it. You mighty man of valor. The very same day, he pulls down an occult stronghold in his own hometown. You have to see something in the Spirit before you can become it. And the arrow of the Lord's deliverance is God's going to break right through your mindsets about yourself and say, this is who you are in the Spirit. See it. Prophecy and warfare must combine to produce a breakthrough. Most prophecy is usually fulfilled in a fight. Most prophecy brings us to the point of fighting. That's why Paul's advice to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18 was, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by those words you may wage the good warfare. That God gives you prophecy because it's like your own personal sword in your hand. There's always a violence around the prophetic. That's why the enemy seeks to kill the prophet. Prophetic people teach us to fight. And we have to learn what a good fight is. And a good fight is one that you don't lose. Otherwise it's not a good fight, eh? The important question to ask then is this, with the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, what will God develop in me in this season of change? What's He going to put into me in terms of ministry, anointing? What anointing am I supposed to experience and enjoy in this next season? What's that about? You know the two questions you should always ask in a move of God? You find them in Acts chapter 2. First one is, Acts 2:12, what does this mean? Second question, Acts 2:37, what must we do? The question we have to ask right now is, this prophecy is from God, what does it mean, what must we do? And between those two questions, there is a response that is required, yeah? But there's also the arrow of deliverance from Syria. And that represents our freedom to break out of the grip of enemy activity. The freedom to break out of besetting sin, the sin that always trips us up. Freedom to move away from bondages and mindsets, whether they're about ourselves or about God. It's really important in this window of opportunity, you name your current problems. You write them down, you name them. Because we need to kill these suckers one by one. Really important, you name it. It doesn't matter if he's got 100 things on your list. It just means you're going to get 100 breakthroughs. So don't be embarrassed about this. Remember, you're Americans. I'm the British guy. British people are always reticent. American people are usually bold. For goodness sake, don't be British. Don't go British on God right now. It's not a pretty sight. Name everything. Why? Because this is a season of revenge. You can't ask the favor of God without vengeance against the enemy. The two things go together always. Strike the enemy at Aphek. Let me just digress for a moment. In 1 Kings chapter 20, let me read you something here. 1 Kings 20 and verse 23. This is the arrogance of the enemy. They always think they've got us worked out. The servants of the king of Syria said to him, "Their gods," that's the gods of Israel, "their gods are gods of the mountains. Therefore they were stronger than we," because they just got a defeat, yeah? "But let us fight against them in the valley, and surely we will be stronger than they." And so the advice was, let's muster an army as big as the one we've just lost, and let's fight these guys in the valley, not where they think they're strong. Now I tell you, I really sense in my spirit that this word is not just for us as a church. I think it's a word for our entire valley. I think it's a word for all the churches in the valley. I believe it's a word for everybody who lives in the valley, whether they're Christian or pre-Christian. If we fight against them in the valley, because the valley, they thought, was their place of weakness. If we fight against them in the valley, we'll win. So it's interesting that we read on there in verse 27, "The sons of Israel were mustered and were provisioned and went to meet them. And the sons of Israel camped before them like two little flocks of goats, for the Syrians filled the country." Very graphic, pictorial illustration, eh? Everything is against us. Aphek represents an enemy who is overconfident because he thinks he's numerically superior. He doesn't understand the enemy. That one person with God is always in the majority. Israel were vastly outnumbered, but God came with a word. Verse 28 says, "The man of God came near and spoke to the king of Israel and said, 'Thus says the Lord, the Syrians have said, the Lord is a God of the mountains, but he's not a God of the valleys. Therefore I will give all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So they camped one over against the other 7 days. On the seventh day battle was joined, and Israel killed 100,000 foot soldiers of the Syrian army. The rest of them fled to Aphek into the city, where a wall fell on another 27,000 of them." It's what you know as a bad hair day. And Israel won. Aphek, which was a place of enemy superiority and our inferiority, now becomes a place of breakthrough where the tables are turned. So Aphek represents the place of turnover. Those of us who are sports fans, we know that the number of turnovers you get in a basketball game can determine the platform of victory that we're going to achieve. What we must avoid is a shot clock violation. We have a window of opportunity. We must act within the lifetime of that window. We have to strike the ground. That is, we have to apply the word of God now to the ground of our circumstances. Strike within this season till you have destroyed what is trying to destroy you. And the word of God demands a continuous response. I tell you, if you don't do it, it's because you don't believe it. There is this gap between our hearing of the word and our doing of it, and that gap must close. So God wants us to go over the top, to be wholehearted, to be zealous for what God is saying to us, to strike the ground, to take every opportunity to get revenge on the enemy. Let us time out here. This is a sober moment. I want you to think about something right now. It's not pleasant. In this account, we see the outcome of a poor response. You see, between the word of Elisha and the action of Joash, there is an incompatibility. And therefore, there's only a partial fulfillment. There is a danger in only going halfway. A half-hearted response will only get a partial breakthrough. And Elisha is rightly angry at Joash the king, because Joash did not enter into the spirit of the response. Maybe, I kind of think he must have had an English moment. But sometimes in my country, we are the worst at responding to something. Especially when something dramatic is required. We're all so flipping reticent, you know. So he kind of came forward and just thought, well, he's dying. He's an old boy. He's on his last legs. He's pegging out. Maybe I can humor him. He didn't understand anything of the importance of the situation he was in. And so when Elisha said, strike the ground, he sort of went, well, okay then, that would be a British thing. Well, okay, if you insist, wah, wah, wah. And Elisha was so angry that he didn't enter into the spirit of it. And he looked at him and he said, you should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times at least. Then you would have had victory over the enemy fully. But because you've only struck the ground 3 times, you will only have 3 victories. I wonder how Joash felt on the morning of the 4th battle. When he's standing there, realizing that the power has run out. You should have, then you would have. I tell you, beloved, in this window, we are either going to obey fully the word of God, or we could live with regret for many years to come. Moment of honesty here. How many times in the past have we known that a window of opportunity has been there, and we didn't go for it, and we bitterly regretted it? Don't let it happen again. You should have. They must be the hardest words in the whole of Scripture. You should have, then you would have. But now you will only have this. Our contemporary version is, this is your big chance, don't blow it. It's time to be zealous. A window has opened. 5 years from today, what will you wish that you had done in this time? Sometimes, beloved, the difference between fulfillment of the promise and total breakthrough and only receiving a partial release is literally your attitude and approach to the season of God that you're in. I wonder if we could have the musicians come back up. Now, I think we're living in days of high drama. We're going to learn how to live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. I want to say to you, this is your time. Don't hold back. Maybe it's time to get rid of your, delivered of your embarrassment or your unbelief, whatever it might be. But we are going to do something symbolic now to represent our willingness to respond to God fully in the window that is open to us. So if you have an area in your life, maybe the Holy Spirit right now has just been saying to you, I want to deal with this problem and that problem and this and this. Or maybe just right now you're feeling that right now your future, your inheritance is going to open up and the Lord is going to want to start showing you who you're going to be in the next season. I want us all to do something symbolic this morning. I want us to come forward and strike the ground together. So that was an appeal right there. I want us to come forward and strike the ground. Let me just say that let's kneel and strike the ground. Those people right now who have a problem like with knees or hips or anything like that, come and sit on the steps and strike the steps. The rest of us can kneel on the floor. Now listen, you're not responding to me. This is your moment to do something with God. And for the next 5 minutes, we're just going to respond. We're going to strike the ground.